First Timothy, rather, chapter 2. First Timothy, chapter 2. You know, I was thought a lot about Mike with his passing. Yeah, he's only 40 years old. And he was in our youth group here and grew up in our church. And then there was another young man in our, Bill, you might remember this, the young fellow got hit by a car, Zach, click. He was, what, 15, 16? And that's just a couple of young people that even in our church alone that we've, you know, hear about passing away. It's just, death is no respecter of person. Death is no respecter of age. And Mike was healthy. Pastor Smith, good friend of ours, Chris and I, he had a heart attack, almost had a heart attack the other day, or a very slight one if he had one. But they were jogging. He's a runner. He's a jogger. He's thin. He's in good health. And him and Nancy, that's his wife, they were jogging, and they got done, or they were just getting done or something like that, and he started having chest pain. She called the ambulance or took him to the hospital somehow. Anyway, you know that one they call the Widowmaker, and he's in perfect shape. It was 98% plugged. And if it would have been a little bit more plugged, that would have killed him right there. It's just, and he's in good health. But his body has something to do where it makes a cholesterol, even though his cholesterol is like 110, but it sticks to his veins. It's amazing to me how that can be. Well, anyway, last week I started to do a couple messages on prayer. And we talked last week about hindrances to prayer. We said a rejection of the Word of God hinders prayer. Unconfessed and unrepentant sin hinders prayer. A wrong relationship between a husband and a wife can hinder our prayers. Wrongs that have not been righted hinder our prayers. Being unforgiving, being covetous, and rebellion and self-will hinders our prayers. Tonight, I want to talk a little bit more about prayer, and I want to read a text here from 1 Timothy chapter 2, the first 8 verses. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. That's why every week, Bill will say, pray for the president, vice president. It says, we are to pray for those in authority that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and variety. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Somebody said, I wish I was smart enough to write some of these things, but somebody said, prayer is essential to the Christian as water is to the camel crossing the desert. Pretty good. As fuel to a jet, air to a tire, as the engine to the automobile. When Christians live without prayer, they soon lose the way. They become withered, fruitless, powerless, and a prey for Satan. The constant communion and fellowship the Christian has with Christ in prayer is the real secret to a victorious life. And I don't know who said that, but that's pretty good. Now, I want to say a few things about prayer this evening. I don't never have long on a Wednesday night, but first of all, I want you to think about this. Prayer makes God's presence real. It just somehow makes God's presence real. Did you ever go through a time in your life where maybe you're alone? And when I first got saved, I was a single guy, and I'd come home from work at 11 o'clock at night. I'd get home between 11:30 and 12. I usually take a shower at work, and then I'd come home and be a little later. I'd rather use their hot water than mine. That's what's the purpose and all that. But anyway, you know, I'd spend 2 or 3 hours every night Bible reading, and I'd meditate on the scriptures, and then I'd pray. And you know, it seemed like when you spend time in prayer, God's presence seems very real. Consciousness of his divine presence is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Do you know when you pray, the author of the book of Hebrews says, enter, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, we enter directly into the throne room of God. That's what we're doing. So consciousness of his divine presence is a wonderful thing. But then there's companionship with Christ. You ever think about this? I assume you have. The creator of the universe, I just preached on evolution and creation last Sunday, but the creator of the universe desires to have a relationship with us. I mean, that is something. So we get to have companionship with Christ, and that's a blessing. And then communion with the Lord of Lords. I mean, that's a reality in our life that all of us should really appreciate and long for. So first of all, prayer makes God's presence real. Secondly, prayer makes God's power ready. I was talking, I think it was today, about a lady. And she mentioned, she started talking about the Holy Spirit of God. And I wondered where the conversation was going to go. But she was reading a book, and so she mentions in the book that she said the author mentioned there's something about God's power. I said, well, the Holy Spirit can give us power. But prayer makes God's power ready. Now, you walk holy as the Spirit leads, and you witness effectively of God's grace, and you can win the conflict over the carnal. And you know what? Prayer. It makes God's power ready for us. Thirdly, prayer makes God's plan revealed. The will of God is requesting. Now, what's it say here in this text? We are to pray. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. I won't take the time today, but we've done it before. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. Four categories there. They are to be made for all men. And he mentions the kings and all those that are in authority, etc. But we can pray and we can make requests for God for other people. That's what we can do. God's prayer makes God's plan revealed. Now, the work of God, we're involved in the work of God. We ought to be praying, God, give me power. Empower me. There's a song you sung several years ago that was the title of the song. Empower me. The word of God is refreshing. I mean, when you're in a prayer time and you're close to the Lord, it just becomes refreshing. There's something else about prayer. When we understand that prayer makes God's program rewarding, you know what it teaches us to do? It teaches us to forgive. And it teaches us to serve. We forgive others that come to us and say, would you forgive me? We forgive them for their sake. But we forgive people who offend us but never come and ask us to forgive them. And we forgive them for our sake because we don't want to harbor bitterness. It teaches us to forgive. Prayer makes God's provisions rich. Do you ever think about how rich you are having all of your sins forgiven? And how you have faith to trust the word of God and the fruit of the Spirit. Prayer makes God's provisions rich. It just makes you feel close to the Lord. Prayer makes God's principles right. You realize absolute truth and absolute error. Do you know, if I use this phrase, scripture praying, do you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about when there's something that you're praying about and you have a scripture in your mind and in your heart and you know what God's word says. And you pray that scripture. You don't have to think about if you're praying in God's will or not. You already know you're praying in God's will. God, this is what your word says. And so we pray that way. I want to tell you, it makes God's principles right. Absolute truth. And prayer makes God's pardon reliable. Now, we got to have to be people of prayer. In your bulletin this week, I was going to say how many don't read the bulletin. Don't raise your hand. I don't want to be discouraged. Anyway, one of these days I'm going to do this. This will make you read it. That the eighth person that comes to me that read this bulletin, I'll give you $20. And everybody will read it and they'll come up. Say, I read it, Pastor. What number am I? I don't know. But inside your bulletin this week, there will be a quote from Abraham Lincoln. How many of you listened to the president's speech last night? Oh, what a speech. CNN, they can't stand him. They gave him a 76% approval rating. That's knocking it out of the park, especially for CNN to say that. But by the way, doesn't it say to pray for our president here? Kings, all that are in authority. I'm the authority in the church, so I hope you pray for me. But you ought to pray for our military, our leaders of our country, our congressmen, and all the people that you saw last night that were scattered all over there. We ought to pray for those people. I mean, we ought to be in prayer for them. There's another quote in there that'll be from E.M. Bounds, and it's a lengthy one. E.M. Bounds has a book about that thick on prayer. And if you want to borrow mine, I guess I'll give it to you, because it seems like I've been letting people borrow books lately and they don't ever come back. But by the way, I was looking for my Revelation commentary today by Dr. John Wolvern, and that's gone too. So if somebody's got that one, I'd take that back as well. Anyway, I don't plan on getting them back. That's all right. I can always order another one dirt cheap. I found two Matthew Henry commentaries under my desk, so I got them too. But I knew where they he's got. He can read commentaries all he wants. It's good with me. So let's pray. Let's learn to pray. Let me read that quote again. Prayer is as essential to the Christian as water is to the camel crossing the desert. We need it. As fuel to a jet. You'd really want your jet to have fuel in it if you were up in the air. As air to a tire. As the engine to an automobile. When Christians live without prayer, they soon lose their way. They become withered. They become fruitless. They become powerless and a prey for Satan. The constant communion and fellowship the Christian has with Christ in prayer is the real secret of a victorious Christian life. We need to pray. And I think this, I know Bill will mention it a little bit. I think after this president's speech last night, and it seemed to touch a chord with the people of America, you ought to be praying that some of these things that's better for America would happen without a big fight all the time. My goodness, our country's so divided. Father, I pray you'd teach us to pray. I think about the disciples when they came to the Savior, and they said, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. Give us a passion for it and a burden for it. It's not that we can talk about prayer. It's not that we know about prayer. It's that we do it and practice it. And I pray that you would give us a burden there. A reminder, a wake-up call every day to spend a little bit of time with you somewhere in that day. And if it's not a long period of time, that's fine. But even just short prayers throughout the day. But God, give us a heart for it so that we can enjoy sweet communion with you and we can spend time alone with you. And it really does gives us a sense of your presence when we spend sweet time in prayer. God, teach us to pray. The need of the hour is great. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read a few missionary letters.